Morning, everyone. Well, my helpers bailed on me, so I had to write my notes down. Good morning, everyone, and God bless all of you. My message is on compassion. And Jesus was very compassionate as he moved around. So I was driving this morning. God was still downloading in my spirit a word. And I celebrate this young lady this morning as she celebrates 3 years in heaven. Every time Apostle Janet would go to visit her, she would say, "Where is my little Sylvia?" And she waited for me to come around the corner and sit by her side. I'm talking about Granny. And she was so compassionate. She fostered children. And this is not part of my message, but this is what God downloaded in my spirit this morning. And when I first met her, the church was still downtown, and she would always say, save a chair for me. And when I met her, she was bringing this little boy. He had to have been like 3, maybe 4. His mom had been addicted to heroin. And when she held him, he would shake. And if she would put him down, he could hardly stand from the drug addiction. And this is just one of the children that I met. But I loved Granny, and she was so full of compassion, and she loved people, and she brought people into her life. And everyone she met, she would draw into her life. And that was so special. So this morning, I want to go to Matthew 9:36, where it says, when he saw the multitudes, it's talking about Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And I'm sure you've been around people that feel so lost and so scattered because they don't have a Savior. They don't have somebody to meet with them, nobody to encourage them, nobody to love them where they're at. And Jesus did as he walked the earth, as he walked with his disciples. In Matthew 15:32, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for these people. This is where he's walking. They're walking out in the countryside. And a multitude of people followed. Multitude. And because he said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days. Can you imagine 3 days without going with food and water because you're following the Savior? I closed my eyes and I picture that. I picture not going without, I'm going without food and without drink just to follow the Master. Isn't that awesome? For 3 days, we can hardly go without, with 1 day without food. 3 hours. So he was moved with compassion, and the disciples didn't quite understand what he was talking about. And have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. He was concerned. I think it was over 5,000 people or more that were following him. And they didn't have food. But he felt compassion. He felt the need to feed them. He felt the need to touch every single one of them. And this is how I always picture Granny. She was always touching someone, whoever they would bring into her life, whoever they would bring into her home. She touched them. She fed them. She took care of them. She loved them because she had that Jesus Christ compassion. And maybe she didn't have a whole lot, but yet she shared what she had. So now I'll go to Mark 5, 25 and 34. And this is a pretty lengthy one. So now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Imagine that, 12 years. She was ill for 12 years. But yet she went around to every doctor until, then it goes on to say, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had spent all her money, all her finances, all her time, all her energy she had spent searching out, looking for a cure, and she couldn't find it. But rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, listen to this. She heard somebody that was going to help her. She came behind him in the crowd. And this wasn't just a sprinkle of people. This was a crowd because they were pushing on him and they were just crowding him. And she said, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, since she was ill, the women back then couldn't leave their homes or weren't supposed to leave their homes. But she said, if I could just touch his garment. Can you imagine the great faith of this woman? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, her faith grew so huge, so huge. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Wow. How many times do we see somebody struggling and yet we pass them by because of the markings in their body or because they're ill or because we just don't have the time? Or so we say we don't have the time. But this woman said, her faith just rose up within her and said, if I could only touch his garment. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? So he's looking because this person rubbed elbows with him. I mean, she touched his clothes. He didn't know because the crowd was so big. It was so big. And he says, who touched me? He's asking his disciples. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around and to the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude. They're still not understanding what's going on and the power within Jesus, which is the same power that we have because Jesus has given us that same power to touch those around us. When we go out and we see somebody in need, stop and talk to them. Or when we get to the store and the woman at the register is so edgy and so, have patience with them. Smile at them. Say, God loves you. His disciples still not understanding. And you see that multitude thronging you. In other words, pushing you because the crowd was so big. And you say, who touched me? They questioned him because of him asking, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done these things. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. In other words, she came and sat and fell at his feet and told him, this is what happened, this is what's going on, and I need healing. I've already exhausted everything that I have. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And that is found in Mark 5:25 through 34. So don't be afraid to stop and pray for people. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Because of they don't look like you, they don't dress like you, because when you go out, they're not Christians. We need to touch those that don't know Jesus. I've had experience after experience, and the last experience that we had, I'm going to share this. I've been going to courtside, and some of you don't quite understand what courtside is. We go and outside of the courthouse and stand outside and wait as people go in or come out. And the one day, about a week ago, we were standing outside, and at a distance, we were praying, but at a distance, I could see these two women coming. And they would walk a little bit and they would stop and walk a little bit and stop. So when they got close to us, it must have taken them 5 minutes from 10-15 minutes from the place they parked over to where we were, because they were walking so slow and they would walk and stop. And the one lady had gray hair. You could tell that she was an older woman. And I thought she was the mother or the grandmother of this young girl. Well, when they walked up to us, we asked if we could pray for them. And the lady says, oh yeah. So they walked up to the courthouse building. And that took them a little while because the young gal was shaking and she could hardly take a step. And so they walked up, walked in the building. And then when they came back down, the mother said, we'll accept your prayer. So we stood there and we prayed for them. We prayed for the young girl. Apparently, the night before, she had had 20 seizures. 20 seizures, only 20-some years old. And so we prayed for her, and she started to smile. Her countenance started to change. And I stood behind her, and Ed, who is the gentleman I stand with and we pray, stood in front of her, and they were praying. Her mom stood beside her. And you could feel the electricity. You could feel the anointing going through her. And he would stop praying and he would say, "What do you feel?" And she said, "This warmth, I can feel this warmth." And there was this electricity just going around us, just going around us. So then he stopped and he says, "Can you walk?" And she wasn't dragging anymore. She was walking. She was walking without hesitation. And then they came back to where I was and her mom was. And he says, "Let's go back, but this time let's run." So she runs. They run. And then they come back running. And you could feel this electricity, and her mom is her. She had this great smile, and her mom said that her boyfriend, the girl's boyfriend, had taken. They were in the vehicle, and he took her by the back of her hair and slammed her face right into the dashboard. And so shortly after that is when she started having those seizures. And so when they walked away, the girl was walking straight, and her mom, they were just rejoicing at what God had done just then and there. And I'm thinking, okay, and we see this, you know, but we're moved with compassion. We don't see how they're going in or why they're going into court. We just stand there and pray for them. So Jesus is moved with compassion. And talk about Jesus being spiritually and sensitive. And we need to be both. We need to be prayed up and we need to be sensitive. Sensitive to the people that God brings alongside of us. If we're driving down the road, if we're at the grocery store, or if we're at work, or like us, standing at courtside. He felt both the compassion and the surge of divine power that met that unspoken need. Sometimes people, when you ask them how they are, they'll say, "Oh, I'm fine." But are you really fine? Deep down in your heart, are you okay? Are you really okay? His authority over disease and darkness were so solemnly rooted in his compassionate heart that the enemy who suffers from a serious lack of compassion could not remain in his presence. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to be so sensitive and so compassionate for those around us that we don't see the outside, but we can sense and see and feel their heart and their need. We must learn to stop for the one referring to the way we must treat anyone, even the lowliest person who needs come to our attention. So anyone that comes to our attention, anyone that God brings into our life, there's a reason for that. There's a reason as to why when we go to work and someone there needs our encouraging word, needs our help, needs our prayer. And they might be triggering our buttons, pushing our buttons, but God says, "Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. Pray for them. Encourage them. Reach out to them." And that was my granny. My granny didn't look at how people were, didn't look at what the need was. She just had that servant heart and that compassionate heart to reach to those around her and those that they would bring to her. And she had children she had to raise. Her husband was gone. So, but yet God blessed her. God blessed her. And her love just spread around. Her love touched many lives. And still. So I miss stopping in Bremen when we travel and visiting with her. And I'm sure she's sitting in heaven crocheting blankets for all the angels. And rocking babies. Just surrounded by babies, because she loved babies. She loved everybody that came to her, came to visit her. She was moved with compassion. She was moved with love. And compassion doesn't mean that we're somebody's doormat. It doesn't mean that we're going to be used. No. It means that we're going to reach out to those around us because we're doing it for God. We're not doing it for anyone else but God. Compassion. Far from being timid or boring, compassion is one powerful feeling that covers a lot of ground in the kingdom of God. It covers a lot of ground. So this morning, as I was driving down the road, God is downloading this and bringing Granny into my remembrance because she loved people. And I can't stop saying that because she did. She loved her family very much, and she loved people. And she did it all for the kingdom of heaven. Mark 16:15, Jesus is giving this commission to his disciples. And because it's written in the Bible doesn't mean that this commission was just given to the disciples. It means it's given to us. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." This may sound silly, but I have a lot of squirrels and little chipmunks and little critters. I babysat my daughter's dog yesterday, and he's only like 10 pounds maybe. And so I talk to the animals, and sometimes the birds are in the bird feeder having a bath because it's been so warm and they're splashing water all over the sidewalk, and I talk to them. I stand at the door and watch them and talk to them. So God has commissioned me when I go to the court side. Even if people want prayer or don't want prayer, I still stand there and try to make conversation and draw them in, build friendship with my neighbors, those around me, those that live around me. I like to know who is living around me. So I am not singing this morning. I see Terry sitting back there. And I see your brother, but I am not singing this morning. But my message is that don't hesitate to speak to people. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of people. When you're at the store, when you're at work, connect with people around you. Don't look at their faults, because we all have them. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. He was the only perfect man, and he died for all of us. He died for all of us. So let's put our flesh to death a little bit. and talk to those around us. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Your reward is in heaven, not here, but in heaven. And that's awesome. Yes. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here in church listening, and for those out there that will listen to the message today. Father, I ask that you would touch lives, touch them with your compassion to reach to others. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would seal this word, seal it to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. You can just stay right there. We wanted to give an opportunity to those of you who would like to be a witness of the goodness of God in your life, to give you an opportunity to share this morning of God's grace and goodness to you. And so we have about 15 minutes, so we're going to limit it to 3 minutes and under. And Elder Ron is going to take a microphone and walk around. And so if that's you, if God has done something for you, and I know he's done something for all of us, but it's important to share about God's goodness in our lives because it builds our faith. It increases our hope. And this is a time that people need hope, right? And the Lord said he'd give us power to be his witness. But when you share the goodness of God in your life, you're being a witness. It's your testimony. Your testimony is all your own. It belongs to you, and no one can take that away from you. But God does things in our life so that we can share. And so this is your opportunity to share. And so let's just do a section at a time. We'll start with this section. And if you have a testimony, stand up, and Elder Ron will come to you. And this is going to be on camera, so...
Well, God had spoke to me this week about just finding some time to share, because he's really trying to put an expectation in my heart for miracles, because he's about to do miracles. And I was thinking of the miracles over my life and how God sold our business. Without you all know how that was a miracle. I was praying for my son to have a wife, and he brought Ray into our life. We precious, perfect. She's a miracle. And there was times where Ron's blood work indicated leukemia, and called Pastor Janet. She prayed. She had a vision. Miracle. His blood work is the blood work of a 30-year-old. I could go on and on, but my most exciting miracle is my daughter, Rachel. I don't know if you know her. She's getting married. It's a miracle. A miracle. You all know her. You know her history. And the other day, this is a wonderful young man. We were so happy. And the other day, I texted them because there was a storm. I texted my kids. You know how you worry about your kids. Are you in the basement? And he said, no, just watching the storm and covering us with the blood of Jesus. I mean, I'm just so thankful for who God has brought into her life. So I'm excited, rejoicing. I could just go on and on. I think the biggest miracle, too, is... God brought us to this church, and Pastor Janet Leonard and the intercessors know how to cover you. If you have a need, I remember my kids were stranded in Chicago. They couldn't get on a plane. It was just a long story. Called Pastor Janet, got on the plane. I mean, I'm just so thankful for this church, for our pastors, for all the... God spoke to me about making a miracle book. And just start writing everything in that book. He's building up our expectation. I got a devotional this morning. I don't know how I got on this devotional, got these coming to me. But it talked about so many people right now. Most people, because of the limits of COVID, are just feeling like there's no way out of their situation unless they have a miracle. And I do not believe God brought COVID into our lives. He doesn't bring sickness. That's not his plan. But he uses it. And he's using this time now because he wants to pour out his glory. So there's miracles ahead. Well, one exciting thing about our business is we were in debt. Our married life didn't live in debt. We were debt free. Even our house paid off. But the downturn of the economy, just some things happened. We were in debt. And I saw that mountain of debt never going away. But God brought someone in, bought our business, and we just have a little bit left to pay off. The debt is gone for leaving that business without debt. So praise God. He's done so many things. And I know there's just so many more to come. So I'm very excited, and thank you, Pastor Stanton Leonard, for providing us this place to have receive miracles.
Can you come translate?
Buenos días a todos.
Good morning to everyone.
Estoy feliz de volver.
She's happy to be back in church.
Quiero hablar de todo este tiempo que no hemos estado aquí.
She wanted to share about all this time she hasn't been in church.
Estuvimos enfermos. Todos, mi papá fue el que nos infectó, el primero que vino a la casa y pues todos enfermos.
Her father was the one that had the COVID and brought it into the home, so everybody was, sí. Everybody got sick.
Y un día, después de tres días de estar enfermos, pues tuve miedo, ¿verdad? Y al tercer día, yo me metí al cuarto y me puse a orar.
On the third day, she said that everybody was sick. Everybody had the COVID in the home. And it was her father, her mom, and her daughters that live with her. And she said that on the third day that they were ill, she went into a room and she closed the door and she started to pray.
Y ahí orando, yo estaba sintiéndome acorralada por la ansiedad y el miedo, pero le pedí a Dios.
Yeah. She said that for some time she felt corralled and anxious because everyone was sick.
Y ya estando ahí orando, sentí cuando Dios me mandó el pensamiento diciendo, levántate.
She said after some time that she was praying, she felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon her and God telling her to get up, not to be afraid.
Y me salí y fui a cocinar algo que nos hiciera sentir mejor porque estábamos muy débiles.
And she said because everyone was sick and wasn't eating, she after prayer she stood up and went to the kitchen and started fixing something that everyone could eat and feel better and get stronger.
Y mi mamá, como ella tiene todos los males, teníamos miedo por ella y sí estaba ella muy mal, era la que se veía, estaba viendo más mala.
Her mom, because she has a lot of infectious illness, they were concerned about her having the COVID and ending up in the hospital and she was there was a big fear there.
Y yo Dios me dijo a mí, levántate y ve a revisar a tu mamá porque ella es la más enferma. Y yo fui y chequé todos sus medicamentos y yo le dije, "Ma, ¿cómo te sientes?"
She said that she after she cooked this meal then she went to check on her mom. Because the Holy Spirit was nudging her to go check and make sure that she was taking her medication that she normally takes.
Y desde ese día yo vi que después de haber yo orado así, todo fue mejorando muy rápido y le di gracias a Dios porque yo sé que Dios es bien bueno con nosotros.
She said after this, she said things started to change. Everything started to shift. Everybody started to get feeling better. And so she was thanking the Lord. She was thanking God for his faithfulness.
todo fue mejorando y yo después dije gracias Señor porque sé que tu compasión y tu misericordia es muy grande y le di gracias a mi mamá y le dije perdóname porque yo estaba temerosa y me estaba como preocupando solamente por mí y no por todos los demás.
And she said that she went to her mom and asked her mom to forgive her because she was so focused on herself and the fear and the anxiety of everyone being sick that she felt that she had to go to her mother and ask her to forgive her.
Y yo les quiero decir, y como le digo también a mi hermano, anoche hablé con él, y me dice que está muy malo, y yo le dije, ten fe, porque la fe es la que te va a sanar.
Yeah.
Porque a veces uno tiene muchos problemas y nos enfocamos en nosotros mismos sin saber que, sin acordarnos o sin reconocer que Dios es nuestro Padre y Él nos ama y Él sabe lo que nosotros necesitamos, pero tenemos que hablar y entregar nuestro corazón con mucha fe para que Dios nos tenga de su mano.
She said that she spoke to her brother, and so she's telling her brother, have faith, because it's in the Lord that he's going to heal you, and he'll be the one to give you the strength that you need, and you'll be fine. So she praises the Lord for that. She's thankful. She said, "She says we forget about those around us and focus on ourselves and how we feel and how sick we are without thinking about those around us, that they need our prayers, that they need our encouragement, that they need our help."
I'm just thankful for several things. My husband's aunt had got sick right before COVID, so we got to go to Indianapolis to see her. And then through all this here, family couldn't go up and see her and that. And then she ended up getting out of the hospital. And now she's doing well, but they didn't expect her to live. So that was really a miracle from God. And we prayed and we were able to take a prayer cloth that Pastor Leonard and Sylvia had prayed over. And they kept that with her the whole time, and she was so thankful to be alive because literally she really should be dead. And And several people at work, they've been going and having me like pray for different things, and we've been doing it on Zoom. And there was a baby that we were praying for, and the mother had lost her job. The dad was going through some stuff. Their baby was very young and I think a few days old. And when we were praying, I had heard the Holy Spirit say that he wasn't going to make it, but you know, I knew the Lord was going to take him home with him. And I know it was very stressful on the family and that, but they do have strong faith and they're getting through it. And we just believe now that the Lord is going to take those finances away and not have them be pressured with that. My daughter-in-law and my son have been coming, and that's a blessing and a half. I mean, you just have no idea. My husband, he's been praying with me in the day. We've been praying twice a day, and he's been doing devotions with me and opening up. I mean, God is really, really moving, and I see such great things, and I know that he is with us and he's strengthening us, and I'm just so thankful to be able to be here, and I just love this house of worship. It's just so much on tact for what where we're at in the season and how things are going, and I just thank God for being here and for all the praises. I'm sure there's some I forgot.
Morning, everyone. I would just like to give a testimony for the Lord this morning. Before I came back to the Lord, I was broken hearted, and I had destroyed many relationships in my life, and addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism, all that goes along with that. And before I came to the end of that, I had destroyed every relationship in my life. And I was like a leaf in the wind. I had no direction. And by the time that I did want to change things, I didn't know how. And God and God alone has restored me, not just in my life, but I mean my heart. I'm talking about a heart condition. The money and the jobs and stuff, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about true happiness, having the joy of the Lord and my heart being healed, and the relationship with my family. God is restoring me, and it's all the glory goes to you, God. I love you. And the relationships in my family, I mean, even the church has seen some of it. I'm being restored. He's continuing to restore me. I'm continuing to grow. And he's not only my Savior, he's my best friend. And I told him that I don't care if I was homeless and broke and in a ditch, but as long as he let me have the joy of the Lord, that's all that I want. And I just, without Jesus, none of it could have been done. And I just thank him so much for everything he's done for my life and my family, and all glory goes to him, and I thank him so much. And I thank this church. I don't want to take up too much time, but he really brought me from nothing to something, and I just love him so much, and I wish everyone could just understand. I try to tell people about him, and I don't know how to do it. I just want my life to be a living testimony, a living song to Jesus. And that with Jesus, nothing's impossible. And I just love the Lord. Thank you.
My testimony is, I have many, but the one that I felt prompted to share was a testimony of protection. Even when we're not thinking about it, God is there to protect us in our everyday things that we do. I shared this testimony with Pastor Janet and Elder Sylvia a couple weeks ago, but I was mowing, a riding lawnmower, and I had a headset on, like a noise silencing headset, and I was mowing along a tree line, and there was this, and I was mowing full speed, and there was this branch that was broken off that was hanging down, and I didn't really see it, and I ran right into the branch. It literally went into my right eye. I felt it go inside the orbital part of my eye, and it was so quick. It literally ripped my headset off. I mean, that's how, you know, there's quite a bit of force. And I got through that, and I stopped because I felt like there must be something terribly wrong with my eye, because I felt the branch, because it was a blunt stick, like it had been broken off. I felt it go in my eye, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with my eye. Absolutely nothing wrong with my eye. So I just started praising God and thanking him, because that was truly a protective miracle that I didn't lose my right eye that day. So I'm very thankful. So I praise Jesus for that. Amen.
First off, I have got so many blessings from the Lord. And I tell you, when my husband passed, most everybody in here knows it, it was a struggle. It was hard. And I thought, I'm going to lose it. But I thought, no, I'm not going to lose it. I got a family. I got God on my side. And so I started dreaming and it was in visions. I seen it. And it was a series, and I never could understand it. And the Lord kept telling me, Janice, I'm never going to leave you, or I'm never going to forsake you. You're my child. I love you regardless. He says, I will make that way when there seems to be no way. And he said, but stand. And it's in Hebrews. And Pastor Janet taught on that, I remember, or preached on it. And I thought, you know, that is very true. And, you know, since the dreams, I could never fully understand what they meant. And so I started praying more and seemed like more intense with my prayers, but they were in tongues. And I kept praying. I said, Lord, I need to know what I'm praying about. And the Lord revealed to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, when you were going through these battles, and they were real battles. I mean, they were gun battles. They were fighting battles. They were very intense battles. And then another dream that I had was when I went with him to like in the hospital, and it was a lot of corridors in there. I mean, it was big. And, you know, someone came and said, it's time for you to leave. And I thought, I don't want to leave. I want to go with him. And they said, no, you cannot go with him. So as we started out, the battle was raging, and it was raging. It was fire. It was raging. And they said, leave. So I left. And I got in my car, and I was driving. And I could see in the distance, I just love it. I could see in the distance, there was peace. It was just so much peace and quiet. And I thought, what is this? So, a few weeks back, he started revealing it to me. He said, when those battles that I showed you, he said, that's things you're going to have to face. And he said, you have been facing them like a true warrior. He said, you stood on my word. You prayed my word. And he said, I honor that. And he said, I told you, I will never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. He said, I am your daddy. And he said, your daddy is going to meet your needs. And that really, you know, that really hit me. He said, Janice. He said, and he will call you by your first name. If he's really talking to you, he'll call you by your name. He said, Janice, you have always been a believer. You've always tithed. You always give. You always help people. You've always been over backwards for people. He said, Janice, you take your stand right now. He said, you start drawing from your heavenly account. He said, your currency is in that bank. He said, you stand firm. And he said, don't waver. He said, your currency is there. And he said, that is for you to use while you're on earth. Because when you pass from this earth and you go to heaven, you don't need that stuff. But you've planted that. And he said, your harvest is coming. So, you know, everybody that tithes, everybody that's giving, let me tell you something. You're planting your seed into that heavenly bank account. That is yours. But you got to learn you have to draw on that account, because God is just not going to hand it out to you like that. It takes faith and it takes determination. And I thank God that, you know, it is a struggle, but I thank God that he's there with me and he goes through these struggles with me. As long as I trust him and stand. And I just want everybody to understand, you better put your trust in God, because this right now, these times are rough. But I believe and I seen in the word that felt in my heart that there are more angels that are coming into this battle that's on right now. God's sending more angels, and this battle is going to come to naught, because there's going to be a lot of exposing that's going to happen. And God says, stand in the army of the Lord and don't back down.
Thank you, Lord. That one's mine. Put that one on the stand for Gabe. All right. Thank you for your testimonies this morning. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.